Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. Each week, we connect you to the people, places, and the land of Israel. And of course, we bring you the truth of what's happening there on the ground in Israel, because there's a lot of deception out there when it comes to news and information about Israel. And one guy that knows a lot about that is Daniel Cohen. Daniel Cohen is a three-time Emmy Award-winning journalist, geopolitical commentator based in Israel. You led Newsmax in Israel with being a reporter there. Daniel, it is so good to be with you. I mean, you've got so much news experience. You have news experience in Los Angeles at some big television stations there. And now you're with Jack Hibbs and the Real Life Network, which we're going to talk about.
Amen.
Daniel, it is just so good to be with you. You live in Israel.
I live in just outside of Tel Aviv in Herzliya. Yeah, and John, by the way, thank you for having me on your show. And hey, everybody in American Family Association. And I'm going to deputize you. First things first, tell you, okay, first, I'm a Jewish follower of Jesus, Yeshua, and I deputize all of you to come to Israel. Have you been? When's the last time you've been many times?
Yeah, I've been there about 35 times. Oh, yes, sir.
35 times. Okay, now look, if you're listening, you don't have to come 35 times. But if you've never been, now is the time. I want you to come to Israel and look me up, and I'll have a coffee with you, okay? All right, let's go, John.
That sounds like a pretty good deal. Yeah. I think everybody needs to take you up on that. You have so much news experience, especially in all different areas, but especially when it comes to Israel. I mean, you live in Israel. You've spent time, you know, reporting from Israel back to the United States, and now you're with the Real Life Network, which is Jack Hibbs. So before we talk about the Real Life Network, tell me a little bit about what you have done in the news area, especially in relationship to the Middle East.
Well, I'll just tell you first that what the Lord did and how he brought my family to Israel was not anything we had ever dreamed of. I'm a Jewish. My grandmother's a Holocaust survivor. She was living in Israel in 2020 during the pandemic, and I parted ways with my station that I was working for in Los Angeles. And the Lord spoke powerfully and clearly and said, I'm sending you to Israel. During a pandemic, when the airport was closed, without a passport, it made no sense. And we said, okay, Lord, how do we do that? Because if it's going to happen, it's going to have to come for you. And he made a way. We put one foot in front of the other, just kept keep taking each step. We sold our cars. We got rid of our furniture. It was a big leap of faith, honestly. And our family was looking at us, and they were saying, wait. You just sold your cars and your furniture. Are you guys moving to Israel? And we said, no, we're not moving to Israel. We've never been to Israel. But the Lord has a sense of humor. And so 8 days before our plane took off that we had purchased tickets for, a humanitarian board in Israel said, you're approved, you can go. We want your children to meet their great-grandmother, 98-year-old Holocaust survivor who had a brain tumor. We want her to meet her children, the great-grandchildren, before she passes away. And so that's the vehicle that the Lord brought us to Israel. Lived for 11 months in Airbnbs from Jerusalem in the Old City to the Sea of Galilee to Netanya to Tel Aviv, all over. And then connected with Newsmax, became the first ever Jerusalem correspondent there. And then for like you said, the last 2 years with Pastor Jack Hibbs, who launched the Real Life Network on Pentecost 2 years ago. The content goes out to 2 million people a month. We do a show from Israel, from Herzliya, where I live. And it's just such a blessing and an honor to do what I do, to serve the Lord. And, John, this is the most important part. Sorry, this was a long answer. To be a truth teller. Because God needs, he doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. But we get to partner with him. His plans can't be stopped. And I feel like I'm a watchman on the wall of Jerusalem. I get to live, and I have lived through October 7th, the war on the front lines. It was in the first group of journalists that saw the unedited Hamas massacre footage, which, by the way, it's worse than you know. And I know you've seen it. I know people, you've seen things on maybe Signal, or you've seen on WhatsApp. Let me just tell you, the stuff that I saw, and they even said, Daniel, we didn't even show everybody the worst because it was blood-curdling. So the stuff that you saw was awful and evil. It's even worse. So, for example, I don't call Hamas freedom fighters. I have correspondent friends that I see in Israel, and they're like, oh, my network says we have to call them freedom fighters or militants. I'm like, what do you call the people who did what they did on October 7th? No, I call them terrorists. Judea and Samaria, I don't say the West Bank. If you're a Christian, you should know this. If you're a believer, or if you're Jewish, Judea and Samaria is the biblical reference to the land. The West Bank is a term that was invented, the West Bank of Jordan, to disconnect the Jews from the land. King David declared Jerusalem the capital of Israel 3,000 years ago. Judea, Samaria. So when you hear someone say West Bank, say, no, you mean Judea and Samaria. When you hear someone say they're militants, you say, no, they're terrorists. And so Israel's fighting the fight, and I just get to be on the front lines living this life, and I feel so blessed and honored to do it.
You are on the front lines, and I encourage everybody to check out the Real Life Network with the Daniel Cohen Show. I mean, I am hooked now, brother, on your show, and you do an incredible job of breaking everything down. You mentioned Truth Teller. Daniel, what in the world is going on with Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, and then Marjorie Green Taylor, whatever her name is? She was in Bethlehem just a few days ago saying Israel is persecuting Christians, and Tucker was saying the same thing in Jordan. I mean, what in the world is going on with these guys? You know, it's almost like Jew hatred.
There is a massive deception. There's a massive deception. And I would tell you, this is a spiritual war. It's not just about what he said, she said, what Candace Owens believes. People that are not rooted in what the Bible says can easily be tossed around, like shifting sands, getting tossed in the sea, whatever that analogy is for you. That's what I'm seeing. Tucker Carlson bought a house in Qatar and says he's America first, and then criticizes people and says, I'm America first. How is it America first that you own a house in Qatar? Do you know what they do, how they treat women? Do you know that how many churches there are in Qatar? His wife couldn't walk down the street by herself in Qatar. I mean, come on, who are we kidding? And I don't want to make this all about trashing Tucker and Candace Owens. I want to encourage and strengthen the faith of the body of believers. Read the word. Romans says that his promise and call are irrevocable. He promised to the seed of Abraham. He promised that they would be blessed from generation to generation. Exodus 4, it says that God calls Israel his firstborn. What father abandons their firstborn? Isaiah, Micah. There is Jeremiah says, unless the sun, the moon, and the stars cease to exist, that's when I'll break my promise to you, Israel. So does that mean you have to agree with everything Netanyahu does? Well, do you agree with everything that Joe Biden did? Do you agree with everything Donald Trump does? No, of course not. That's absurd. As a believer, Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless Israel, which is, by the way, Numbers 24, is the exact same verbiage. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. There's a commanded blessing in supporting Israel. Pray for Israel. Be a blessing to Israel. Read the Bible. Open up and read the word. God is not a promise breaker. He will not break the covenant that he made with himself to Abraham through the nation of Israel in the redemptive story for the rest of the world.
You know, that seems to be a huge problem here in our country. I mean, among a lot of people, that they're not reading the Bible, but especially, you know, when you think about and you go down to the younger generation, millennials or Gen Z or whatever, not really reading the Bible and understanding the plans and purposes that God has for the Jewish people, that's a problem. And then when you're believing all the negativity and all the untruth that's coming and the lies and deceptions that are coming from the media, you're just like, okay, yeah, I guess that's right. But it's not lining up with God's word.
Yeah, that's very much true. You know, it's important also that you know, and I don't know what the full makeup of your audience is, but, you know, as a Jewish follower of Jesus, you know, I have people tell me, they say, well, you're not even really Jewish, you know? And they say, I've had people who were believers look me in the eye and say, you can't be Jewish and follow Jesus. And you know what I say, John? What do I say? Jesus is Jewish. Of course I can. It just makes sense. He's a Jewish Messiah. And so, why do I believe that? Why do I believe that Jesus is who he says he is? He made a bold claim. He said that he is the Son of Man, that he would be seated in glory, and that he's coming back one day. He's not coming back to Vatican City. He's not coming back to New York City. He's coming back to Jerusalem. Jesus is going to plant is going to place his throne on Moriah, and that day is going to come. Now, why do I believe that? It's not because of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John alone. It's because I know what the Old Testament says. Churches that are growing right now, John, congregations that are thriving, have pastors that are bold enough to speak and to connect Israel to what's going on. Some don't want to talk about it. Some say it's too political. I'm not here to pastor bash, but I am here to say I have recognized and I've seen pastors like Pastor Jack Hibbs, unapologetic in his support for Israel, unapologetic for what the Word says, and those two things. And this is what especially young people today need, that. They need something to grab onto, because if they don't have that strong teaching, right, they're going to get tossed around like the waves, like we talked about. They're going to find something on TikTok. They're going to find their way into Islam or some kind of deception. So, you know, Micah says that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And Isaiah says that he would be born of a virgin. Zechariah says that he would ride into the old city on the back of a donkey, right? Isaiah says that his clothes, they would be crucified, by his stripes we are healed, that they would cast lots for his clothes. Zechariah also says that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. That's all in the Old Testament. That's nothing I just told you about the New Testament. Who does that sound like, right? So if you have any doubts about who Jesus is, I'm telling you, read and crack open the Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh, the first five books of the Bible, the whole thing, the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, And it will become clear. I pray that it becomes clear as day to you that Jesus is who he says he is, the Jewish Messiah.
You need to connect with Daniel Cohen on the Real Life Network with Jack Hibbs and what they are doing. He is a truth teller. As he said, he's doing that every single day. And speaking of truth, so here's the question I want to ask you. What concerns you most right now about the lies and propaganda regarding Israel and what's going on? What's at the top of your head right now?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, and it seems like this is a spiritual war, and I need to remind myself of that sometimes. You know, because we get caught up in headlines, but the reality is, you know, on October 7th, you know, Hamas they made a declaration in a charter after Israel pulled out of Gaza in 2005. And they left it there, and Hamas said, no peace, no peace with Israel. And on October 7th, they had a name for what they called the invasion. Al-Aqsa Flood is what they called it. All the commanders for Hamas that were watching from Qatar, that were watching the invasion take place. Do you know where Al-Aqsa is? It's on the Temple Mount, right? And so this was never about Gaza. They don't care about the people of Gaza. This was about a strike, an attack in the heart of the Jewish state, which again, King David declared the capital, Jerusalem, the capital of Israel 3,000 years ago, before Islam was even created in 627, right? And so it's a spiritual war. Al-Aqsa Flood, this is spiritual all the way. Be praying for Israel. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective.
Daniel Cohen, three-time Emmy Award-winning journalist, geopolitical commentator, and now with the Real Life Network based in Israel. You need to check this guy out and get on the email list, look at his videos and what he's doing there in the land of Israel. You mentioned Gaza. Yeah. Daniel, I have some major concerns about this peace plan that we have going on there in the Middle East. I mean, you have the potential of Turkey being involved, which is a country that is not at all friendly with Israel, and that's saying it nicely. Yep. And then you have Qatar, and then you have Indonesia. Indonesia is not that good for Israel either. That may be the lesser of all the evils out there, but they're going to send in a bunch of troops, you know, to help out. Hamas hasn't disarmed. So what's your take on this peace plan and, you know, where this thing is going? Because in some ways it's confusing. In some ways, for me personally, it's discouraging to see what's going on.
Right. So as a believer, you know, the first thing I tell myself, John, is that nothing happens outside of God's purview. Erdogan, I was in Turkey. I was in Istanbul in 2022 during his reelection. You know, Erdogan calls Netanyahu a criminal and a terrorist, and they're sitting on the board of peace together. How is that going to work out? I wish I could tell you something, John. I don't know. You know, I don't like to sit in front of a microphone and say, I don't know, but I do know God is on the throne, that having Prime Minister Netanyahu, who has been very strong for Israel, and having President Trump in the White House, who's been very strong. There was a sea change overnight. Once President Biden left and once President Trump came in, the hostages were released from Gaza. I mean, when there's a strong man in the White House and a strong Prime Minister, which we have in Netanyahu, there is peace. That is what peace through strength looks like. The enemy knowing that the United States, I interviewed David Friedman, here, a quick dovetail. He was President Trump's ambassador to Israel. And he said, Daniel, President Trump is the guy sitting at the poker table, and he's got pocket aces. And the enemy just has to believe that he's willing to play his hand, right? Nobody thought President Biden was going to do anything, and they didn't. They operated with impunity. And now things are different now that President Trump is there. Just again, be praying for Israel. Be praying for that board of peace. Be praying that Hamas would be, I don't know if it's right to say they will be completely defanged. They've been decimated. I would love to see no more Hamas, but it's an idea. And, you know, we do deep dives on our show about kindergarten graduation ceremonies in Gaza where five-year-olds dress up like Hamas and they take Jews hostage and they fake execute them. At a five-year-old, at a kindergarten graduation, what? You know, we did a deep dive this week, too, about how their math books. This is not kidding. UNRWA has math books in Gaza, and a math equation for a kindergartner or first grader will say, if I killed two Jews on Tuesday and two Jews on Thursday, how many Jews did I kill? That's a real thing. I'm not making that up. It's mind-blowing. So there's a generation that has been programmed to hate Jews. It's biblical. It's a spiritual war. And so I would love to say, I don't think there's going to be a sea change overnight, but please just again, be praying for Israel and be praying for President Trump and Netanyahu, that God would just give them wisdom on how to navigate all this.
Got to move to Iran. Obviously, when it comes to Iran, you know, you think about the people there that are under this repressive, oppressive government that is destroying the people, destroying the country. And then, of course, Iran, these Ayatollahs and everything else there in that government, they are... had been supporting proxies all over Israel. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Lebanon and Hezbollah. We're talking about even Gaza, Hamas. I mean, just on and on and on. We could go on. And so they need to go. The country needs to be free.
The important thing that you just said, and that it's important this audience understand, Iran is the number one state sponsor of terrorism around the world. And the declaration that they've made against the Jews, they say it's the Saturday people first. That's who radical Islam is coming for. And then it's the Sunday people next. And so if you're squishy in your support for Israel, you have to understand and know Israel is the tip of the spear. Israel is fighting the war that has already, by the way, is now infiltrating the United States. And we're seeing radical Islam in Texas. We're seeing radical Islam, Dearborn, Michigan, Paterson, New Jersey, in North Carolina. I was talking with somebody yesterday who was saying, oh, yeah, it's happening. It's happening. So I'm hoping that the church specifically is shaken to a point where they wake up. That they wake up to the threat of radical Islam, because the cancer is here and it is metastasizing. And I'm choosing that word very, I didn't misspeak. It is a cancer that is metastasizing. It's incompatible with the West. Be praying for Israel and be praying for the United States and be praying for our military men and women.
We need to do that for sure. And, you know, you mentioned the radical Islam thing that's going on here in our country. And you mentioned all these cities. I had no idea. I mean, I heard about Dearborn, Michigan, I think in that area. We've got a Muslim mayor in New York, but what are you seeing again as far as the onslaught of, you know, this Islamic revolution here in this country, and what are we going to do about it?
Yeah, well, look, this is the playbook is infiltrate, populate, and then they slowly change. They slowly change, and it starts at city councils, it starts at school boards, it starts at state representatives, and now, yeah, New York City has an Islamic, radical, communist, socialist mayor. In Zoran Mamdani, and that was a test case. And now there's somebody running for I came from California, so I pay close attention to California. There's someone running for mayor in Los Angeles who's to the left of Karen Bass, who's a Democrat socialist. And I see Christians, again, I want to bring this back to this your audience, something like 26 to 27% of Christians vote in elections. Let me say that again. Islamists are engaged. They're taking mayorships. They're taking over in Congress. They're taking over in roles. 26% of Christians vote, and we're seeing this radical shift. Imagine how much different Congress would look, how much different everything would look, down to your local school board, if Christians were engaged. Islamists are engaged. Atheists are engaged. Christians are quick to say, I'm just going to pray. I don't want to be political. I'm sorry. This is a time for choosing. You must choose. And my goodness, you must vote. Even if this person doesn't check every single one of your boxes, because by not voting, you get Zoran Mamdani and you get this radical Islamist takeover. Again, they're inside the gates. It's a cancer. It's metastasizing. And the church specifically needs to wake up to the threat now.
What's going to happen if we don't?
What will happen if we don't is the United States will turn into the UK. Have you been to London?
I have been to London.
I was in London last year, and it is unrecognizable. In Brussels, the school children, the makeup of the school districts there are 52% Muslim. Vienna is 20% Muslim. My son plays baseball in Israel. We're going to Brussels in a couple of months to play internationally in a travel ball team. 52% of the school children in Brussels are Muslim. London has mayors that are Islamic. Most of the major cities across the UK. So what will happen? That's what will happen. Charlie Kirk, the great Charlie Kirk said, immigration without assimilation is invasion. And that's what's happened in the UK. Europe, I'm sorry, unless they do something drastic, is gone. And that's what's happening in the United States right now.
So what are we going to do about it?
What do we do about it? Well, I can tell you, in Japan, they are outlawing Sharia. People who are Muslim there, they are refusing to allow them to bury their remains in Japan. They're making them repatriate the remains to their home countries. I mean, there are drastic measures that are just now being talked about. I'm not a policy wonk, you know, I'm not a policy advisor, but I think the first thing is everybody needs to just wake up to the threat. Just, there needs to be a little shaking for people to know that this is very real.
These are a lot of heavy topics. I want to wrap up the show and just ask you, with the people who are listening right now, all of our AFR family members, what we can do to stand with Israel, stand with what God's word says about the Jewish people and the land of Israel, you know, and what we need to do to get back to God's word.
The Bible says that God will judge you. He will judge the nations based on how they treat his brethren. His brethren, that's Israel. That's Israel. How can you live in where with the majority of your audience is? Wherever you are in the United States, wherever you're listening to this even right now, how can you support Israel? Pray for Israel. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. Come to Israel. I walked around the Gaza border after October 7th with Mike Pompeo. I walked around with Nikki Haley. I walked around with Mike Huckabee before he was Ambassador Huckabee. And I said to all three of them, I said, just the fact that you're here in the land, walking around, is enough. The fact that you got on a plane to fly to a war zone, but again, if you've ever thought about coming to Israel, get on a plane and come and see for yourself. And it will change you. Bring your Bible, open it up, crack it open, read the word. It will come to life like never before. And maybe some of the things that you see and hear from Tucker or from Candace or from Nick Fuentes, you'll say, you know what? They're wrong. They're wrong. I saw this for myself. It's not an apartheid state. There's Arabs on the Supreme Court. There's Arabs that serve in the Knesset, right? I just posted a story I shared today that Israeli police officers are making sure that that no one will be impeded from visiting the Temple Mount. If you're Jewish, if you're Christian, if you're Arab, everyone gets to go. And I said, gosh, Israel's pretty terrible at this apartheid thing. they're not so good at this apartheid deal. So come to Israel and let God do what only he can do.
And I would add to that, be a truth teller. Be a truth teller. That's what Daniel Cohen does on the Daniel Cohen Show. That's what you do all the time. You are a truth teller. And, you know, you're not beating the wall. You're just telling the facts and you're telling the truth, right?
Last thing I'll say. Yeah, that's right. In Ezekiel, and I believe it's in chapter 2, God speaks and Ezekiel says, if you know the truth and you don't share it, if you don't tell people that the blood of all these people who could know the truth, that could be saved, that hear your word, their blood is on your head. If you speak the truth, if you share the truth, once you've done that, it's not your responsibility. Let God do what he does. Let the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does. But if you keep that inside, watch out. That's a pretty powerful verse. That's a pretty powerful verse. So just speak the truth. Tell people what you saw. And in the meantime, please, yeah, watch the Real Life Network. Watch the Daniel Cohen Show. It's reallifenetwork.com. It's totally free. We don't want your money. We don't want your money at all. Nothing. Zero. Name, put in a password, and you're good to go. It takes 30 seconds. reallifenetwork.com. If you want to follow me on social media, Daniel Cohen TV on Twitter and on Facebook, Dan Cohen TV on Instagram. God bless you. Thank you, John. Thank you for having me, and to the American Family Association and to your audience. God bless you all. I really mean that. Thank you so much for having me.
You can find out more about the Real Life Network when you visit reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. Real Life Network, free Christian video streaming with a lot of great shows for you to enjoy and to grow and to learn. So check that out, reallifenetwork.com. As we wrap up this edition of the Middle East Report, I want to share with you a short excerpt from a message that Amir Sarfati gave in California. And Amir Sarfati is the founder of Behold Israel. He has a Telegram channel that you may want to check out if you want to keep up to date with truthful news and information from Israel. And he lives in Israel with his family. He is a native Israeli. He's a worldwide Bible teacher. He has just an incredible ministry. And this portion that I want to share with you from a message that he gave in California has to do with the fact that when you look at what's happening in the world today, there are so many attacks against the Jewish people. What's the right perspective? With all the lies against the Jewish people and the state of Israel, we have to go back to the Word of God. Listen to this short excerpt from Amir Sarfati, the founder of Behold Israel.
Jeremiah 31. I wrote it on a piece of paper and looked for an address to send it to the Ayatollahs. I didn't have a clue that nothing will be left from them, just a cardboard. But never mind, look, watch this. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. Look what he says. If those ordinances, which means the sun, the moon, and the stars, depart from before me. In other words, if you go out and there's no more sun, no stars, no moon, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. In other words, blocking the Strait of Hormuz is not going to put an end to Israel. Sending rockets or drones will not do that. But, and that's what I wrote them. I said, guys, if you really want to bring an end to my nation, no problem. Develop a weapon that destroyed the sun, the moon, and the stars. Look, thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth search out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. In other words, there's no way, as long as this world exists, God will abandon his people and they will no longer be there. You have to understand, try. I am inviting Tucker to try. Now I understand Candace Owens added me to her list. I don't know if you saw her. Did you hear? Did you see that? Yeah, on the last show, now my name is there. Yeah, what a badge of honor. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is that everybody's trying and trying and trying and trying it, and it's never working. Why? Have they ever stopped to say, how come the Muslims are losing every war against us? How come all these people who rise, all those who want to destroy us and eradicate us, they always lose? Why is that? It's not because of who we are. It has never been because of who we are. It's because of who he is. We serve an unchanging God. Psalm 94, for the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. The failure to see God's perspective. If you don't spend time with the Word, if you don't spend time with the Lord, you don't see his perspective. The world is growing darker, but our light must shine all the brighter. And knowing the direction that all things are heading, and in light of the fact that our redemption is drawing near, I want to conclude with Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Listen to me, God is watching all of you in this dark hour of the world when his nation is under the most attack, the greatest attack ever, greater than before World War II, just so you know. He is watching his children. Are they falling for all this? Or are they strong like the righteous as a palm tree that everybody can see?
Find out more about Amir Sarfati and Behold Israel when you visit beholdisrael.org, or you can catch him on his Telegram channel. That's the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley. Thanks for listening. Get a podcast to the show wherever you get your podcasts or at afr.net. Thanks for listening.